All right, everybody, welcome to Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P. Today is Thursday, February 16th, 2023, and we are live. Remember, Critically Thinking is sponsored by CardioMiracle, cardiomiracle.com. It is a great antioxidant, nitric oxide supplier, and very helpful before and after workouts. It's very good for people with heart issues. I take it almost every day with one of Dr. Lee's multi-mineral complexes that she sells. And I feel great. I enjoy it. And critically thinking, cardiomiracle.com, CT15 for your 15% off first purchase. So as everyone knows, I was not here last week. Thank you for holding down the fort to Dr. T and Dr. Chris. I greatly appreciate it. And for those of you who are there, I did send in a long list of sports trivia for Dr. T to read on the show. And so now a little more sports before we get into the meat of tonight's discussion. I was very saddened to hear today that Tim McCarver passed away at 81 years old. For those of you who do not know Tim McCarver, he was a catcher for both the St. Louis Cardinals and for the Philadelphia Phillies. He pitched, he caught Bob Gibson, and he also caught, he was the personal catcher for the Philadelphia Phillies pitcher, Steve Carlton. He wasn't an amazing baseball player, but he was a good baseball player. He was on a number of World Series teams. I think 3 wins with the Cardinals and 1 win with the Phillies in 1980. I think he was on the Phillies by then. I don't think he had retired. And then he spent the rest of his career up until recently in the broadcast booth. And I loved Tim McCarver as a baseball analyst. So for those of you who like trivia, who are nostalgic, take a listen and are interested in baseball. Tim McCarver, rest in peace. You had a lot. That's not nice. Who cares? Well, I'm sorry, but the sports is important to a lot of people. And I'm not going to back down just because you say who cares. Baseball season has started. Spring training has begun. Pitchers and catchers have reported to spring training. And another thing is LeBron James passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the all-time scorer in the NBA. Kareem was one of my childhood favorites. And I just have to say, we'll respect LeBron James, but Kareem is one of my peeps. So for those of you who did watch the Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Philadelphia Eagles. That was my prediction, and I got it right, thankfully. And I'm very happy that the Kansas City Chiefs won. The offensive coordinator for the Eagles has now gone to the Indianapolis Colts to be their head coach. And the defensive coordinator for the Eagles has gone to the Arizona Cardinals to be their head coach. And Jalen Hurts, who's the quarterback for the Eagles, in all likelihood is going to collect upwards of a $45 million contract per year. As it is, Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs collects 46.3, I think it is, million dollar salary per year. So yes, I still think of the Colts as Baltimore also. And, you know, I still like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, even if he tells Auntie Jabbers to go to hell. I can still appreciate his sports feats when he was younger. So how many of you watched the halftime show or heard about the halftime show at the Super Bowl? Well, let's just say that it was an interesting show. Rihanna was the only singer. Usually, here we are. We have a Dr. Merritt. We have a Dr. Merritt. Or is that
Heather? We have a Heather.
Oh, no, no. No offense to you, Heather, but we were hoping for Dr. Merritt. Anyway, the halftime show had Rihanna, and she was obviously pregnant. No one knew. And she was dressed in a Hunger Games Section 1 outfit, similar to Lady Gaga during the Biden faux inauguration in 2021. It was a red outfit. The platforms that she was on were in red. She kept grabbing her crotch and smelling her hand. If you watched her face, they had the camera on her and she made these very demonic facial features. She was lip syncing and she definitely did not keep up with the lip syncing. There were these dancers who were in these white outfits. And I can't tell you what in God's name they were wearing or why. I wondered if they were actually supposed to be some kind of moonwalkers or aliens. That was my, hazmat suits, maybe. But it looked very, very strange to me. And certainly it was a tame demonic performance as opposed to what Sam Smith did at the Grammys. It was tasteless in my view. I did not think the referees were very good at the game, and it showed in many different areas. And then we talk about Damar Hamlin. So Damar Hamlin made another appearance at the Super Bowl, or at least someone we were told was Damar Hamlin. And how many of you saw the jacket he was wearing? That demonic, unbelievable, yes, blasphemous is the word I would use. And I just didn't know what to say. But the jacket, he whoever he is, has supposed to have been apologized already for wearing that jacket. But I'm not aware if any of you saw what happened with a close-up of Damar Hamlin on the field. So someone got a close-up of the left side of his neck. I think the jacket was an upside-down cross. It was pretty ugly. And it was demonic. I mean, yes, and I'm glad Adrian Peterson called him out. But there was a close-up of Damar Hamlin on the left side of his body. And if for those of you who are interested, going back to look at some of the old photos of Damar Hamlin, Damar Hamlin had a tattoo on the left side of his neck. And this guy on the field who was joking around, playing around, fooling around, having a blast, was not the same guy with a tattoo on his neck. And so, no, Damar Hamlin does not have a twin. And so, interestingly enough, the next day, Damar Hamlin was on Good Morning America with Michael Strahan. And for those of you who were watching it, first of all, whoever was sitting in that chair or was not sitting in the chair, but they found a way to zoom in with a voice and an appearance, the guy didn't even look like the same guy who was at the Super Bowl the day before. And yes, people have been saying it was CGI. Interestingly enough, if you also saw, they did not show the left side of Damar Hamlin. They showed the right side. But a lot of people have been calling out the fact that there was no tattoo on the left side of his neck. at the Super Bowl. I think the other thing is, again, and I keep looking back over picture after picture after picture after picture. I even went back to the video, the 6-minute video that he did the day after the Bills-Bengals game when he made his first appearance. And if you really look carefully, the old photos of Damar Hamlin and the new Damar Hamlin, the eyebrows are different. The teeth are different. There's a different shape of the face. Even the eye colors appear different to me. And so don't take my word for it. I mean, it's all there, exactly all there. Take a look at it. Go and look at the old pictures and see. What was very interesting was that during the interview, Michael Strahan asked him, did the doctors talk to you about what happened to you? And he fumfered. He said, and then said, that's something I don't want to talk about. And so, of course, the internet just lit up with comments about how this guy should have said what really happened. Now, these are people who believe that that was Damar Hamlin, but let's say it was, and we know that it was probably scripted, but you know very, very well that he could not say, well, it really was. And I'm really surprised that they let whoever that was give that something I don't want to talk about. And you have all these people who I didn't read every single post, but a lot of these people who are saying that he should have said it was the jab. We all know it was the jab. Of course it was the jab. But I want to ask you guys to think about one thing. We hear all about how many young athletes have collapsed all over the world on soccer fields, lacrosse fields, basketball fields, on courts all over the place. Teenagers, young men and women in their 20s, in their 30s, just collapsing. Isn't it strange that only one NFL player collapsed out of 53 members of the teams times 32 teams? So you do the math. Someone can call it up really quickly. But I think that's close to 2,000 people, maybe 1,700, 1,800 people. 53 members of a team, 32 teams. And he's the only one who collapsed. And I think that's remarkable. 1,696. I said 1,700. Thank you. So with all the young people collapsing, and certainly all the young people who are dying, I mean, what is it? Like 20% of those who have collapsed have actually been saved? And this guy is supposed to be requiring oxygen, which is what all the announcers have said. And this guy was supposed to have a long recovery with oxygen. And you see him fine, right? No labor in breathing, no apparent weakness, not looking debilitated. For those of you who are aware of people who have gone into cardiac arrest for as long as he was supposedly in cardiac arrest, he certainly has recovered really miraculously for someone who needs such a long, long rehab. Yes, two ex-football players died, but they weren't on the field. That's my point, is that you have 1,700 football players who are playing throughout the season. who were supposed to have gotten the shot, that Jack's player died after playing. He was already retired. He did not die on the field. So, and J.J. Watt had a little bit of an atrial fibrillation. So I just think it's very, very interesting that he is the only player. Now, for those of you who want to go down the rabbit hole, many of you have already pointed out that there were a lot of demonic symbols on the field. There are a lot of strange things that happened on the field when Damar Hamlin collapsed. And there are many of you who probably believe that he was sacrificed. He was a sacrifice. And not clear why. Certainly we could potentially create some reasons. But we saw a lot of threes, a lot of 33s. Again, people were concerned about the ambulance. But it's interesting that, I mean, there were people who were praying on the field with using demonic hand symbols. In fact, if you watched the halftime show, you would have seen that Rihanna also used a demonic symbol. But it's not clear why this guy would be sacrificed, what the message really was to the world. And we know that the NFL is in bed with the higher ups, in bed with the deeper states. We know that. So it's not clear why this is going on or what's going on, but I don't know what Dell said on the show today, but from what I'm reading from the chat, it would seem that there's a concern that something really foul is going on where he was possibly sacrificed, and that either he's alive and just off somewhere in witness protection, or he's dead and they're playing it like he's alive, or he's alive and he's a vegetable. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to go deeper than Dell does, because Dell has a different platform than we have here. But it's just strange. It's strange that they're showing someone in a video the day after the Bills-Bengals game who did not have any oxygen on, who was up and about, who was energetic, who was walking really clearly, very strongly, didn't look debilitated. It is interesting that they didn't continue playing that game. So, and then to see him, with a mask on at the stadium and eyeglasses, and then to see him at the Super Bowl without the tattoo on the side of his neck, and yet Damar Hamlin had a tattoo on the left side of his neck. So it's interesting. And I think I agree that, Dell may have called him out and said, come out and tell the truth, because there are others involved, but it's not clear what's going on, but something is fishy. And for those of you who critically think, which I hope all of you are critically thinking, there's something that's not right. Something's not right at all. All right. So moving on, I want to ask you if you are aware that the emergency for COVID is supposed to end in May. I think it's May 11th. Anybody see that date? How do they know that the emergency is supposed to end on May 11th? Can anybody sort of explain to me what this, how they know that the emergency is going to end on May 11th? Somehow the need for COVID regulations is going to end. Is that a symbolic number? Does that mean that certain policies that are in the back of some of the policies that they already passed are going to now come out, and we're going to know what they're really up to. Of course, because they planned it. And yes, there is no emergency. There never has been an emergency. And yes, this is all based on control. And speaking of control, are we really seeing balloons in the air? Are they balloons? Are they setting us up for the UFOs? Is it a distraction? Is it something that is really occurring? Is there really a Chinese balloon? So, yeah, I mean, yeah, some people might say it's a UFO, but I don't believe it's a real UFO. Again, I don't have enough information one way or another, so I'm coming from my opinion, not from my research, but I believe that it's yet another, yes, distraction and a way to create fear that we are going to be invaded or there are going to be people coming to get us. May 11th is National Twilight Zone Day. Really? Is that true? So I don't know how many of you were aware, but there was an emergency meeting 2 days ago, on February 14th, Valentine's Day, that they discussed the intervention for the new Marburg catastrophe. And they were first talking about it in Equatorial Guinea. And so I don't know, guys. I don't know. I mean, they're gearing up for another playbook, the same thing. Create the poison, make it a disease, get people sick. People get sick. And then after getting sick, they tell you that the only way to get rid of that illness is through a vaccine, right? Because we all know that the only way for any illness to ever go away is for a vaccine to get rid of it, because nothing else on earth could possibly take care of the illness, especially when you're being poisoned and they're telling you that they're telling you that it's a virus. So there's an elephant sitting in the room, and that elephant sitting in the room is the train wrecks. So as far as I know, there have been about 8. I know there's one in Ohio in East Palestine. By the way, it's pronounced Palestine from what I understand. So one of the train wrecks was in East Palestine. One of the derailments was in Houston. Another derailment was in South Carolina. Another derailment was in Michigan. And I don't know where else, but I know there are about 8 of them. Some of the derailments, the cars just fell off the rail. But it wasn't until after, at least a period after the derailment, that the one in Kissimmee in Florida, thank you, with plastics, that's right. There was a fire at a plastics warehouse in Florida. Yes, I'm aware of that. But the interesting thing is that the one in East Palestine, Ohio, looked to have been detonated. And I just got a post from Dr. Northrup, who posted the following from Tennessee Truth Seeker at Tennessee MAGA 13. Food for thought. The laws governing Agenda 2030 land development allow governments to seize polluted land and move their residents into smart cities. Important to note, if the land plus water around you is completely poisoned, you don't get to opt out of the smart city model coming down the pike. Are you starting to understand? So there are people in the East Palestine, Ohio area who are screaming at the number of livestock that are dying, at the number of people who are getting sick, at the fact that the water is undrinkable. Someone actually posted a pathway of water from the East Palestine, Ohio, Pennsylvania border, going all the way down through the Mid-South, down to New Orleans and out through the river into the Gulf of Mexico, showing the path of toxicity that has been spilled from the East Palestine detonation of the hazardous materials that was on the train. And we all know by now that that hazardous material contained in part vinyl chloride. And Dr. T did a huge happy hour about the, it was a morning coffee 2 days ago with Dr. T. I'm going to post it here for everyone to take a look at. I did not get to listen to all of it yet, but I encourage you to listen to it. That's right, down the Mississippi River is where the water is supposedly trailing from East Palestine. The intel that I have gotten, and again, nobody's specifically writing to Dr. Larry saying, we need to tell you this because we can't tell anybody else, is that people who are trying to report what was going on were being arrested. So it seems as if they're finding another way to kill people. They're finding another way to make people sick. They're finding another way to starve people. COVID didn't kill people fast enough. The COVID injection didn't kill people fast enough. The direct energy weapons that are coming from 5G and electromagnetic pulsing, not killing people fast enough. And they're trying to get people into the cities, away from the land that they will then take for themselves. And again, not allow people to live there. Now, I'm going to throw something else in here, guys. I also think that their time is running out. So this is, for me, sort of some of the last push for them to do the damage that they are trying to do before there are enough people in the world who wake up and take them down. So I know that this is tragic. We're watching it unfold. The balloons may be a distraction, as some people are saying. People are dying. People are getting sick. I saw videos of people who were showing the air quality over New York State, upper New York State, with these gray clouds of vinyl chloride. I saw a kid in my practice who lives in Vermont. Kid was playing outside, came inside, and developed this huge toxic poisonous skin reaction. And, you know, I had to tell the mother, give the kid charcoal, you know, make sure that she's taking charcoal as often as possible. And, you know, diet, of course. I agree. I'm going to divert for a second because I saw something that somebody said. For those of you who know Dr. Carey, although not Dr. Carey, We are doing a lot of praying, for this to resolve in the way that it needs to. But again, we are definitely in need of people to stay awake, not woke, but stay awake. Dr. Carrie's fine. She's fine. So I really want to encourage all of us to stay very, very focused on self-care, to stay very, very focused on preparations. Remember Dr. T's summer of 2022, ways to take care of yourself. There are many, many, many different people all over the country and all over the world who are recommending things to do to prepare: water, food, generators, planting, bartering with neighbors, candles, all of the things that we need to do to take care of ourselves when, you know, the internet goes out, the electricity goes out. It is really bad in East Palestine, and you're not hearing about it because mainstream media would not tell you about it. So please keep your eyes open. Watch for the distractions. Watch for the digital passports. Watch for if you're going to go to your doctor, please note that any doctor who has electronic medical records is now almost forced to ask you about your COVID injection status and your other than COVID injection status. And they will be putting it into a database that was approved by the WHO. And this information is being collected by the powers that be so that they can control your life. And I want you to know that medical doctors will get reimbursed for providing the computers, which is not really computers, it's their database. The doctors are getting reimbursed for providing that information it's an incentive for them to do it. So try and find a doctor who has paper charts, and do yourself a favor and make sure that you do not answer anything related to your injection status, whether it's a vaccine, a so-called vaccine, or a murder weapon, which the COVID injection is. So please be aware of that. And I have an article from Mercola. I will give it to you if I can find it. Give me a second. Here it is. The federal government is tracking the unvaccinated. For those of you who are not aware, Mercola has been archiving his articles. He's also been giving it to the Epoch Times so that they can publish it on their platform. So today I was in a store. I was buying something. And I was working with a woman who owned the store, and she somehow brought up the idea of her 17-year-old son going to the doctor and getting his meningitis shot and developing hives for 2 years. And she had always spread out the shots when he was younger. Now he's in his 20s. But she made sure to do that when he was younger. And then when he was 17, he got the hives. And she did not give her kids or anyone in her family the COVID injection. And it was an opening for me to actually share some information with her and enough to get her understanding of what's going on. Obviously, she already knew. She already knew not to give her kid the COVID shot. So be aware. I mean, if you could stay away from the doctor, yes, she knew I was a doctor. I had told her. I'm not surprised it expired because Mercola's material is only lasts for 24 hours. So if you can avoid the doctor, if you can, please don't go. Or just try to find practitioners who don't have electronic medical records. All right. So that's all I got for what I wanted to talk about today. Marburg is just another poison. For any of you who are late to the game, none of the illnesses that they talk about, yes, those doctors are hard to find. I understand. None of the illnesses that they talk about have ever been caused by a viral illness. These are all poisonings. It's poison after poison after poison after poison, whether it's an airborne poison, a wavelength poison, a waterborne, a foodborne. These are all poisons that we are being exposed to. They call it a virus, because that gives them a sense to say, we can now make a vaccine for you. All right. What happens when an unvaxxed person, intimate person is vaxxed? That's a good question. You know, we've been talking for 2 years, literally 2 years or more about the spreading. Again, not shedding, because we have no idea if it is a shedding, but it's definitely a spreading of material from one person to the next. I know personally, just being around people who've gotten the shot, I feel a vibration. I feel I get a headache. I feel something electromagnetic and vibrational. So this is where those who are exposed, again, I'll tell you some of the things that I do. I do hyperbarics regularly. That's because I can. And I put topical iodine on once to twice a day. I also use glutathione regularly. I use magnesium regularly, vitamin DK regularly. I know many of you were listening to me about yes, I add vitamin C and selenium and zinc and copper, things that I add. I know many of you were on my case because I did 10 weeks of urine therapy. Well, I've been doing very, very intensive coffee enema therapy. And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is very, very helpful. I already said that I do the Cardio Miracle, and I do the minerals. I also use Dr. Merritt's carbon 60, C60, which I recommend if you're looking for antioxidant support as well as heavy metal detoxification. And I eat really, really, really cleanly. So this is so important. My water is filtered. Who knows what they're putting in the water now on Long Island. For those of you who are worried, I don't live in New York City. I don't go into New York City. I try to stay away from New York City. To me, it's devil's den. I don't want anything to do with New York City. So again, I mean, these are things, there's the EE system, the energy enhancement system that people are using. They're getting, a lot of people are having very interesting experiences doing it. So that's another thing that can be done. I think that's pretty much a lot of the things that are available. You all know about the vitamin C, the vitamin D, K, the zinc, the copper. Copper is a very important nutrient. I hope you will listen to Tau Braun, T-A-U-B-R-A-U-N. He has been very helpful in his recommendations. Brian Artis, I'm glad somebody put in methylene blue. I have used methylene blue. I personally didn't see any changes, but that's okay. Not everything is going to help everybody. And yes, there's the chlorine dioxide. And for any of you who are aware, Dr. Judy Mikovits has a protocol that utilizes chlorine dioxide. So I can't tell you to take it, but I can recommend that people are using it. Dr. Merritt, welcome to the show. Late,
but didn't forget completely. I did forget. Cookie called me. Thank God.
So did I
looked at my phone. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just completely discombobulated today, I guess.
Well,
maybe it's toxins in the air. What do you think?
Okay. So I just want to tell you what I covered today. And then you go ahead and run with it and give our audience. Yes, I do use molecular hydrogen. Thank you for saying that. I talked about the Super Bowl.
Oh, good.
Talked about how crappy the referees were. I talked about the halftime show. I talked about the jacket that Damar Hamlin was wearing.
Yeah,
I talked about the non-tattoo on the left side of his neck. I talked about his Good Morning America appearance, which very well could have been CGI, because the guy who appeared on the Good Morning America segment did not look like the same guy who appeared at the stadium, who did not look like the same guy who appeared on the 6-minute video for his first appearance. I mean, the eyebrows are different. The lips are different. The bite is different. The nose is different. I mean, what do they think? We're stupid? I guess they do.
They do.
I talked about the train wrecks, which I think we're up to about 8 right now. I talked about the toxicity. I talked about the taking of land. I talk about the water systems, the air systems.
Yeah.
I talked about the livestock dying, the food supplies dying. I talked about the mobilization of people into smart cities as a result of that. I talked about the fact that, are these balloons? Are these UFOs? Are these distractions? What are these, Dr. Merritt? I talked about the fact that the emergency, COVID emergency, is over on May 11th. Like, isn't that amazing? Like, that's a big day. Like, they already know that.
And why not today?
Yeah. Why not today? Why not last month? Right. And then I talked about the emergency Marburg session that they did 2 days ago. And I talked a little bit about baseball starting. I talked about LeBron James. And I definitely talked about the halftime show with Rihanna and her pregnant belly and her red outfit and her grabbing her crotch and smelling her hand and her demonic faces that she gave into the camera. And I talked about the treatments that people are using. I talked about a girl in my practice who lives in Vermont, who just all of a sudden got a huge toxic skin reaction after playing outside. And, you know, what I did for her. I talked about Tim McCarver dying. I talked about the sky that's over New York State that people are now videotaping, which shows
is that the pink. Is that that pink? I hate to say it, kind of, I'll say it looks like a flower. This flower like thing, this pink cloud.
The same kind of like pink. A pinkish gray.
Oh, okay. No, someplace. Oh, no, that was maybe Argentina. There's identical cloud in Argentina that appeared in Turkey before the big earthquake. And it looks like an orange two-layer cloud that looks like a rose, kind of. It's kind of like a
is that over Turkey?
That was over Turkey before that earthquake, and now there's one that appeared over Argentina.
Or that detonation under Turkey. That was no earthquake, Dr. Maris.
Right. No, the quote earthquake. Yeah. Right. Either it was a detonation, it was a scalar weapon. Right. It's tectonic warfare, what we want to call it. Right. But can I, I'll say something.
And I forgot one thing. Oh, I forgot one thing. Raquel Welch died.
Oh, no, I'm sorry about that.
82 years old.
82?
82.
That's it?
You thought she was older.
I did. You know, is Sophia Loren still alive?
I don't know.
She's always been a favorite of mine. And, you know, now I'm looking at these people that didn't age and I'm thinking, oh, man, was it all adrenochrome? I mean, it's just you just hate to think they're all in this. But
or was it all a dream? Go ahead.
Yeah. I got to say about the good news here. There's good news and bad news about the NFL and the whole Super Bowl thing. And you know, the funny thing is I usually don't watch the Super Bowl halftime. I used to when it was really good, but then I kind of quit watching it when it became this demonic stuff. But this time I watched it to see really what they're going to tell us, because is this going to be no predictive programming? What are they going to tell us here? And you know what I walked away with? I kind of went, meh, you know, that was not much of a show. I mean, compared to what they've done in the past. Yeah, it was red and satanic and she made bad gestures and stuff. But it looks to me like maybe, yeah, the demonic satanic forces here are running out of money. That was not a high bid budget halftime. I mean, this is Satanism on a budget. And I think that's a good sign.
So that's what I said.
Okay, good. Tonight, independent confirmation.
I said something similar. What I said was that it's very possible that they know they're losing and they're just, I mean, their end is near.
Oh yeah.
And they're just doing like all these explosions, the detonation.
They're playing it out.
They're just doing whatever they can before the gig is up.
Right.
So that's the hopeful story of the night.
I heard somebody say one time, and I think this is the most likely, to me, this sounds the most likely of anything, is this is like a chess game where white knows he wins in 7 moves. But black won't resign. And so you're still knocking people off the board. So some people are still going to die. We got all this crap going on. Excuse my French with all this, you know, how many trains you said? We've got trains, we've got planes, we've got everything collapsing. I mean, they're trying to collapse society. And this is anybody who thinks this is by accident anymore is just nuts. This is an attack on our infrastructure. And it's been going on for a long time.
Right.
Which brings me to the issue about Marburg. I want to say something about Marburg, because Marburg's been, you know, if you just since people are texting in here and I see them in the chat, I'll pop this question up. How many cases of Marburg have there ever been in the world? Maybe I said this one time on the show, but just make a guess.
147.
Well, it's a little bit more than that, but it's under 700. It's about 600. So here we have the whole world talking about Marburg. Everybody on the street knows what Marburg, the name of that disease. They know it's hemorrhagic fever. And yet it's, 610, something like that. It's just very, very few people. Now, when you really look at, and it's funny to run these cases down. Like there's one in 1975 of a hiker in somewhere in Africa. And he was hiking all over the place. And they looked at, did he come in contact with bats? Did he come in contact with this and that and the other thing? And they run the whole list. And they can't prove he came in contact with anything. They can't find any source of it. They can't find anything. And yet they say, well, it must be arthropod vector.
Right.
So it had to be bugs because they couldn't come up with anything else. They couldn't be. But let me just tell you this what I believe the real story here is. Now, and having said that, Todd Callender and some of his people think they found patents where they say that they claim they put Marburg virus inside this stuff, inside the Novavax, this lipoparticle coating, and it can be released using wavelength. Well, I'm not saying it can't be true, but until you show me independent confirmation there's genetic material in these vaccines, I ain't buying it. Okay. I'm just not buying it. There's something else going on here. what Marburg just is the name of a lab. It's the name of a city, but there was a lab, a Marburg lab in Germany. And Kaznacheyev, when he was doing his research, showing that you could in Novosibirsk, Russia, or Soviet Union at the time, in the 1920s, and he could show that you could actually transmit disease electromagnetically, symptomatic specific disease. His buddies then followed that on, and after he quit doing the research, then it went to some other people, and I can't remember all their names. There were three or four Russians that did it. Very interestingly, in the English literature, you cannot find any of his stuff or their stuff, not in English. Now, you can find it in Russian. You can kind of, and it's before the age of digital image, digital stuff. So it's hard to translate. You got to either read it yourself or translate it in pieces. But anyway, bottom line is, when you do find an English something about what they did, they say, oh, that's just nonsense. That never worked, blah, blah, blah. And then when you find a paper that actually talks about it more, they say, you don't have access to this paper. You don't have authorization. Wait a minute. You just told me you thought it was all voodoo. Why can't I read what you think? So they're hiding this in the English literature, but it went from Russia in the 1930s and 40s to a place in Germany where they were doing research in the lab, and that lab was Marburg.
Oh.
So I'm just saying that because to me, the people running this show, they're really into profit, okay? They're into profit. They're into killing us off and making the world tough, and they're kind of running out of money. I don't think they would have been spending a lot of money on very, very, very expensive genetic materials when they could have done the same thing with electromagnetics. So I'm going to tell you, and then they always tell you what they're going to do. They said there's going to be a cyber pandemic. Now, how does Marburg fit in? If you think it's a virus, which it isn't, how do you think it's going to be a cyber pandemic? No, it's not. They're telling you the actual truth. A cyber pandemic. It's going to be, they're going to make people sick with wavelength.
Well, I think that's
what's going on. Yeah, but they already are.
I mean,
going to be a different version. This is going to give you the scary bleeding from your eyes. It could happen. That could happen. And I'm not going to be sanguine about it, but don't let them tell you to take another shot to try and stop it. This is not a virus. You got to do the right protection. And that's why I think as much as the protection you can have, I Carrie Mahdi and I both use that EMF Sol. I've got a link on my website. And I also take carbon 60 every day. I believe the carbon 60 is helpful just because what this does is it upsets your electromagnetic gradient, and you get your electrons get stolen by the toxins and things. And so I think adding some electrons, what carbon 60 is, it's a great electron donor. So it's kind of the anti graphene. Graphene's flat. It sucks up electrons, transmits things. Carbon 60 is round, it's a buckyball, and it gives you electrons. So I just think that's a good thing. But ultimately, we're going to have to take on this whole issue of the electromagnetic towers. Now, I'm hoping we don't have to. I'm hoping that this is going to be, this is kind of an end game, and these guys are coming down. I think so, but I can't prove it. So I don't know. What else did you talk about that you wanted? Oh, the balloon distraction. Let me say something about that. Okay. I on my website, I always have the first 5 minutes while people are coming in on my podcast, I always have a meme run. It's like 3.5, 4, 5 minutes of memes. And I've got to tell you, the best thing about the balloon invasion of 2023 was just the fabulous memes. I mean, one of my favorite is the Kenosha kid, and he's there with his weapon. And there's the white so-called Chinese balloon. And then it shows him, he's pointing up like that. There's a famous picture of him walking with his weapon in Kenosha when the riots are going on. And he's pointing up like that. And they put the balloon above him and it says, I know a guy, I just thought that was cute. They have so many funny ones, but I think, and there's a potential for the balloons to be real. I mean, there's a potential for weaponizing fentanyl. Fentanyl is highly toxic. It wouldn't take much to just absolutely, coming across Montana, you want that land, but you don't want to destroy the infrastructure. You just want to destroy the people. Just spread out micronized fentanyl. And I can tell you, besides the fact that our bioweapons people have not only worked with contact poisons, they've worked with aerosols. The Russians were really into aerosols, the Soviets, and they kind of abandoned it. It's hard to do, but we had that anthrax thing, which shows you that was micronized, very fine. That wasn't just off the street. That was not just somebody in their basement. That was extremely well done, very precise, powdered, micronized anthrax, and it was made to be very dispersible. So we know they could do that with fentanyl. And we don't even know the lethal dose of aerosolized fentanyl. It probably isn't much. It's 7 micrograms.
On your fat tissue.
What's that?
Might depend on your fat tissue.
Well, it probably does. And it's also, the effective dose, when it starts to have an effect on you, is 7 micrograms in a cubic meter.
It's not a lot.
That ain't much. So I think that could have been, but I don't think that's obviously there. I don't think that was what it was that time. Now, they did learn a lot of intel from us. They learned that we don't shoot down everything that comes across our border. Neither does Canada. They learned how we track them. You know, these things weren't, there was a lot of misinformation on, I don't know what the truth is, but they claimed they were at 62,000 feet, but the military jets in Montana over this nuclear area were at 19,000, where they couldn't have seen the balloon at that level. I mean, they can monitor it, but they couldn't put eyes on it. So what were they doing down there? You know, I don't know. So the whole thing is a little bit strange, but I have to say the biggest thing, I think, of all this stuff, they're probably just taking us down, but they're trying to, they're not going to win. But the thing that they may be distracting us from is something horrible. And I'm just going to say this. There's pictures coming out. I can't prove this. This is just what I believe is going on in Ukraine right now. And I'm trying to think where it is. It's near Bakhmut somewhere. I can't remember the exact name of the place.
You can talk about the children.
No, this is something else. This is, at first we saw Russian soldiers were picking up these drones from the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians were sending drones over to do things. Okay. And they'd somehow, the Russians would capture them, you know, bring them down, whatever. And they would show them off. You know, they were these weird looking little drones, all different shapes and sizes. And they were kind of making fun of them because they have very sophisticated, the Russians have very sophisticated drones. It's a drone war. In fact, now it's an underground, the Russians just released an underground, it's like a drone submarine that just took out a bridge or worked on a bridge somewhere. So there's a very sophisticated drone war going on. But so they've been looking at these things. Then they started seeing these drones that had canisters on them, and they'd hold them up and they'd be kind of like, what are these things? And no problem. Last thing I just saw, just this week, when the balloon started, was a Russian officer talking to an enlisted guy, and he's telling him, do not touch the drones. You touch them, you die. Wow. And then we see a picture on another place it must have been shot by a Ukrainian. I can't believe a Russian would let his comrade die like this. But there's a guy, he's a Russian, presumably, at least he's in a Russian uniform. He's in a ditch. And, you know, I don't know why warfare always has these ditches with like a foot of water in them, but nobody should drown in a foot of water. But you see this young guy, and he's like moving his hands kind of like this. He's trying to move his hands. Okay. He's trying to move his legs. And every time he tries, it just comes up kind of like this. And, you know, because he's been in contact with a nerve agent. So I hate to say it, but I believe that NATO, which means us, meaning the United States of America, has just crossed a big red line. I think we have just released a weapon of mass destruction, and that is chemical weapons against the Russians. And I just saw today, I don't know where I saw it, I can't remember, but I just heard somebody else reporting on that, not on, you know, on some news channel somewhere, they were saying that was happening. I mean, that's horrible. You see, I mean, that's, they've been poking the Russians and poking the Russians now for, you know, almost a year about this whole, well, a year to get them to go to war. And the Russians, God love Putin. He's been the adult in the room. And even now, even saying that this is going on, what he said was, he said, I didn't hear him say exactly that we'd release a WMD, but he knows what's going on. And he said, listen, I'm not after the American people. I'm after the globalists. So I appreciate that. Now, here's the only problem. Yeah, the only problem with that is that one of the globalists is Warren Buffett, and his house is 30 miles from my house. And, you know, in the age of nuclear weapons under the Soviets. They had these spray and pray weapons that were, they had to make big bombs because they didn't target very well. I'm just hoping their targeting's gotten better. But yeah, I think that's what's going on. This is horrible. I think we've released a weapon of mass destruction. I think we are using chemical weapons against, in a violation of the Geneva Convention and everything we have ever signed.
What do you think the COVID jab is?
Well, yeah, yeah. But that's democide against that. That's worldwide murderous action by governments. I get that. But it's not in military. This is our military. Again, there's a.
Wait a second. The military is responsible for the COVID jab. They're responsible.
We don't know that for sure. I think so, too. But we don't know. I mean, again, it's not the whole military. OK, it's not the whole military. And this isn't
Department
the whole
of defense.
Military. Yeah. So we're because I think we're dealing with factions here. So, yes, the same faction that murdered all the people in the world with this stuff, the people that have died, is the same faction that is doing this. And they're not our military. They're the red faction within our military, within the CIA, within NATO. But unfortunately, it still comes down to being we are, you know, NATO. When I was in the Navy and this is one of those stories I got because I dated a minesweep guy one time, an officer. Anyway, he told me, so, you know, you get these stories for weird things. But he told me one time about a NATO exercise. He says, you know, and the joke among minesweepers is wooden ships and iron men, because they have wooden, they're the only boats still in the Navy, if they still do this, with wooden hulls, because they don't want the magnetic mines to get them, right? So they're going out and hunting mines in the English Channel with Nate as a NATO exercise. And they put 100 mines out there, and the Americans got 98, and all the other European allies got 2. Okay, so I'm just saying that was then, and this is now, and maybe it's different, but we are NATO, is what I'm saying.
It's funny, because I was going to ask you what's going on in the Ukraine, and... There you go.
But you see, I think it's because they're desperate. This is an act of desperation. If you look at what's happening, they're shanghaiing young men off the street in Ukraine. The Ukrainians don't want to go fight this anymore, the normal Ukrainians. They've got what they call fake taxis. And somebody thinks they're getting into a taxi, and they just got taken off to boot camp. It's that desperate. And I love it. Zelensky goes over to England and asks, I think, the defense minister, the Britain defense minister or something, for airplanes. And he starts screaming at him, "We don't have any airplanes." So what this whole thing has done has depleted everybody except the Russians of equipment. And keep in mind, the Russians have oil, they have gas, they have production facilities. They can keep building weapons. This is how we won World War II, right? We could keep building weapons because we hadn't been damaged. Germany and Japan had been damaged so badly that they just could not keep building the weapons of war. And that's where we are. That's where Europe is with this. So now they're getting desperate.
Where's China in all this?
Yeah, that's a good question. Where is China in all this? You know, China, and I heard somebody say this too, and I think this is the real answer. The business of China is business. The business of the United States is war. Been that way for a long time, and we accepted it, but it's time, it's changing. It's going to change. And hopefully it changes because we peacefully bring it to a change. But that's, I think China just doesn't need to get involved in this sandbox fight, because it'd rather sit around and become profitable again and get, you know, but there may be another thing going on in China too. And that is that which is linked to Thailand. If you're watching what happened in Thailand. So Thailand's
talk about it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thailand is more overt. So the princess of Thailand, which is the daughter of the king, took two of these Pfizer shots. And I gather that generally the Thai family got vaccinated, but she's in a coma from it. And she's been in a coma for a while.
6 weeks.
And they were told by their doctor, the royal doctors, it was okay. It was safe and effective, right? Well, Thai patriots that realized that they'd been lied to got to the king or the royal court somehow and set up a meeting between, who is it? He's famous. I mean, Bhakti. He's been in this Bhakti. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bhakti. They set, Bhakti.
Yeah, yeah. So they set up a meeting with him and the royal family. And apparently he had a 3-hour discussion, went over everything with them. They realized they'd been lied to. At the end of that, apparently they stood up, the king stood up, everybody stood up and said, and the king says, we will take care of this.
Uh-oh.
And the next thing you hear is they're calling for, they're convening tribunals. But in addition to that, I will just say, the word on the Thai underground is that it got very quiet. The Thai underground is known for, if you want to hire a very professional stealth assassin, you go over there. So I would, if I were, you know, the CEO of Pfizer and these guys, I'd probably be really nervous right now. And I think that China might be the same thing. What we're seeing is a re-emergence of the traditional royal families, the families that believed that their country was their responsibility. They couldn't be bribed. They were above that because they believed it was their duty to take care of their people. And they're starting to come back. The royal families of China, too, the old families apparently are pissed. They realize they've been lied to. A bunch of them have died of this vaccine, and they're going after these guys, apparently. So I think that's what's going on. We'll see.
I had heard that Thailand and Sweden were putting together lawsuits. I don't remember against whom, because I listened to so much. I didn't take it all in. But there are lawsuits against the powers that be in Europe by Sweden.
I can see this happening on multiple levels, you know, on multiple levels, just like it did. You know, I think it's important to realize that Nuremberg One was kind of a scam. Everybody wants Nuremberg.
Obviously.
Yeah, you know, it was a scam. And one of the scams that I don't know if we've talked about, but, you know, there was it was the Harvard guys that really were involved in the prosecution of the physicians in Nuremberg. And so Dr. Ivy went over. He was one of them. Leo Alexander was one of them. He was a psychiatrist. And I don't, you know, he was not the problem I'm talking about. He was a good guy, I think. But they went over and they got all the, you know, the evidence and they stuff to try certain doctors, and they didn't try others and everything. Well, so what happened is there was a guy, and I'm blanking on his name. I keep meaning to look it up. I've said this a couple of times. I keep forgetting. It starts with an ST or something like Stengler or something, Stengler. I can't remember. But anyway, he was a professor before the war. He was a medical professor. He was involved in the medical experimentation on prisoners during the war, specifically malaria. And about 10 patients died. Now, these are prisoners. They were being treated, they were being experimented on. And by definition, if you're a prisoner, you're under coercion. So people have to realize there was no Nuremberg medical ethics code at the beginning of the war. We were doing the same experimentation in this country. The guys went over and they started this trial, and they realized that they were in trouble because these guys were being tried for what we were doing too. So they run back to Harvard and they made up these Nuremberg principles and came over with them as if they were something that they'd been working with for decades. Well, they got called out on it. Carl Brandt's lawyer, I think it was, that said, hey, wait a minute, you guys have been, you just made these up. And they had to admit that they had just written them and that they'd just gotten published because they couldn't lie about that. Right. Well, the other thing that came out is this doctor that was being, you know, tried for his malaria experiments, one of the Harvard guys, Dr. Ivy, was he himself involved in malaria experiments on prisoners. And he was using a worse form of malaria than was this guy. Okay. So Carl Brandt, who didn't personally was involved in any of these, and I'm not trying to be an apologist for Carl Brandt. He should have gotten out of this really evil system, but everybody was trapped in this system, he thought, I guess. But he was the titular head of the medical department at the end of the war. He was an orthopedic and spinal surgeon and trauma surgeon, so I had some sympathy with this guy because I know how he trained, and he was a super well-trained guy. He didn't get into this to do all this stuff. He actually saved lives on the Eastern Front by taking off his coat and rolling up his sleeves and helping the low-level, you know, battalion surgeons operate on these wounded soldiers. And you know, most administrative doctors would not do that. So I was pretty impressed with that, but he was a fairly good guy. So what happens though is when this is going on at Nuremberg, he's starting to squeak, and he and his lawyer saying, wait a minute, how could you guys be doing this? You were doing the same thing. So they knew they weren't going to shut Brandt up after the war. He was going to talk about this. He got hung. Wow. Okay. He got hung. And I'm just saying, you know, he got hung and he did less than Dr. Ivy in Harvard. And it wasn't, everybody knows about the Tuskegee experiment. They keep it kind of like that blue ball thing that's supposed to be SARS-CoV-2. They get you focused on that so you don't focus on everything around it. We think of that as being the only thing. No, that's not the only thing. We were doing lots of experimentation in lots of penitentiaries, even up into the 60s and 70s and 90s, okay, in this country.
Yeah, we were doing it in Puerto Rico too.
Yeah.
So I want to make mention of something I forgot to talk about, Lee, and that's the CDC recommendation to add the COVID injection to the pediatric schedule. And we all know that it, and they were very clear in making it a recommendation, not a mandate, but we all know that when the CDC recommends, everyone follows.
Right.
So,
because if you don't, you might be liable. You know, my child died of blah, 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 and you didn't give them the recommended. That's how they get away with that.
So if this whole thing hasn't ended by the time this is looked at by the states, we're going to see the states decide whether to add it to the schedule. And it's not going to go through the physician communities in the states. It's just going to go through the health departments, or depending on each state, will determine. Sometimes it's the governor that can make it. Sometimes it's the state health departments that can do it. But be aware. I mean, you guys.
They're tricking you to kill your children.
Tricking you to kill your children.
It's just that simple.
I mean, the fact that there are mandated shots to enter school should already alert you of the coercive and mighty policy that's already in place. Somehow, your ability to learn is tied to whether or not you have a list of shots on your docket. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
I can't believe that doesn't even occur to parents. Like, oh yeah, but my kid can't go to school unless he gets his shots. Well, how does learning in school relate to the number of shots that you have? And here's what I tell parents. Here's what I tell parents, Lee, when they say to me, but if my kid doesn't have the shots, how is they going to go to school?
I know. I can't wait to hear what you say. I know what I say.
Well, I can't promise you that your child's brain will be the same after they get the shots once they get back into school. They kind of look at me like,
yeah.
Again, I can't promise that your kid's brain will function the same.
Actually, you can almost promise it's not going to.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to
leave. I know you can't say that, but I'm just saying I can say that.
Right? I don't tell people what to do.
Yeah, I know.
In that regard, I just offer them information and opportunities to critically think.
Well, you know, the bottom line is children are not safe in school. It's not just about the shots, although that's probably the most egregious. They're being indoctrinated. They're being sexually groomed. They are, you know, not to mention
sexualized.
The teachers.
They're being sexualized. They're being sexualized.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not just groomed. You're right. Yeah, I see your point. Yes. Yeah, I know.
A 5-year-old is being taught how to do masturbation with a banana, or how to put a
in
condom.
First grade.
They're learning how to put a condom on a banana. I'm like, why don't they just take an 18-year-old, come into the classroom, get an erection, and then teach you how to put the condom on?
Yeah, I know. So the answer is, and it's also, by the way, this is the same answer that keeps you from being on the unvaccinated list. You've heard about that, right?
We talked about it.
Yeah. Well, you know how that happens. You see, it doesn't happen unless you're in the system. They're not coming to my house and putting a number on me. That only comes when I go to a doctor who's in the system, who has electronic medical records, who takes government funding, and he's going to put an ICD-9 or an ICD-10 code on me, on my chart, that says I'm a vaccine refuser. If I don't go to him, I don't get that. So my advice, same thing with school. Take your kids out of the school. Take your kids out of the system. Take yourself out of the system. That's where we go with this.
Either, and as I said earlier tonight, so thank you for repeating it, either don't go to the doctor or find a doctor who doesn't use electronic medical records.
Right, which means, as we say in AAPS, a doctor that's not still on the plantation.
That's right.
You know, he got off the Medicare and insurance plantation, and now he's just a free roaming cash pay guy. So, and how do you find such a doctor? Somebody says, well, I'm going to tell you, there's several areas of, and, you know, and they range from, you know, you saw that, what was that, that show? It was a New York show about the, what's the big resort north of New York that everybody goes to, not the Poconos, the, they summer in
the Catskills?
Yeah, no. It's like
Lake Placid?
Really big money in that comes out of New York, and they summer in the anyway. And it was about this doctor that did house calls there. What was the name of that show? You guys, the Hamptons.
Oh, okay. That's on Long Island.
Long Island, yeah. On the, as I said, New York. I thought Long Island was still in New York. Anyway, he would go out, and he was big money, but he was cash, right? But on the other end of the spectrum, so we still have those, but we also have on the other end of the spectrum, you've got the guys that do cash for very reasonable prices. Now, I had a friend years ago in AAPS. He would come to AAPS, and he was talking actually about, I think he was from Alabama. And he had, like, he was Catholic, had 7 or 8 kids. He had a mom and pop type office in a tough kind of area, and he just treated people from cash. He had on his a thing on his wall that showed if you needed stitches, it was like $6 a stitch or $3 a stitch or whatever. He had it all written out, but he wasn't you could get in and see him for $40. I mean, this wasn't this wasn't the guy in the Hamptons, but he said one of the great things about this was that when they told people to evacuate, he just didn't have to worry too much. He just went into his safe. He grabbed the cash. He put stuff in his pocket. He put a weapon on the other side. He left. He said that was it. You know, cash medicine is simple. So you can find them. AAPS has a list, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and it's aapsonline.org. The anti-aging societies generally are cash. So the A4M, it's called, what's their website? It's I'll think of it. It's the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, and you can find their website at worldhealth.net is their website. And then there's all sorts of, once you've gotten to them, you can go to AAPS, can give you the list of all the other associations that have cash doctors. But it tends to be the holistic and anti-aging doctors.
Right. And I will say, and I saw a message come up on the chat. Sometimes the cash doctors charge an exorbitant rate and makes it impossible.
Right. And so, but they're all over the place. It depends on where you are and where you live. And, you know, it's what the market will bear. The beauty about cash is, here's how cash works. I used to do this, you know, because if you're like, when I was in orthopedic practice, I couldn't give a discount below Medicare rates. If you're going to pay cash, I had to charge you at least Medicare rate, or I'd be discriminating against Medicare patients. I couldn't treat a poor person for free. Okay. It was illegal. So but in cash world, as the price of the drugs went up, and mostly the price of doing paper went up, you couldn't really in the system give a shoulder injection for less than $200. I mean, it ended up adding up to bill insurance. It was $200 to do a simple injection at the end of this time. Right. But I can do it for cash for a fourth of that, you know? So the real issue here is that, and then here's the other thing. You got two cash doctors. This is the beauty of cash. This is why cash is king and keeps prices down. So I'm an orthopedic surgeon. and I decide I'm going to still charge $125, $150 for a cash injection into your shoulder. But you can go down to the guy over here who's a family practitioner, doesn't have quite that much training, but he's going to do it for $75. And you said, well, he's done it before. I don't think this is that hard. I'll go to him. But you might be, you can also make the choice, just like you make a choice in the grocery store about which tomatoes you want to buy. You can also make the choice and say, you know what? I think I'm going to pay a little extra and see the orthopedic surgeon in case there's something else that needs to be looked at. Right. And that's what you do, right? That's the beauty of this. And then the orthopedic surgeon might say, I'm not getting much business. I better drop my prices. Right. That's what keeps the competition, keeps prices down. In organized medicine, there's no competition.
Correct. All right, Lee, thank you for coming on.
I'm sorry I was late. That was
No, you're all good. It all, we'll have more to talk about next Thursday when we do the five docs. Here we are. We're closing towards the end of February. I can't believe it. 16th already. And thank you to Cookie and Heather dropped off, but thank you, Lee, for always having an unbelievable amount of information to share. Guys, keep your eyes and ears out for odors, for water tastes, for food problems, for strange clouds, for strange sensations in your nerves, in your tongue, and your eyes, watch your skin, just be aware and make sure to take care of your storage, what you need to store for whatever short period of time is necessary. Use cash wherever you can. Catherine Austin Fitz has plenty of information on it. So stay awake, stay alive, stay healthy, stay strong, keep critically thinking. And we'll see you next week. All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks, Cookie. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.